tackling tough topics to help you think reasonably about life's most important issues. This is Thinker Sensitive. Welcome to another episode of Thinker Sensitive. I am Ryan Ragazine, and I am the host of the Thinker Sensitive podcast. I'm recording this on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, so some of you might have it off, and if so, it's always nice to have a three-day weekend, and I hope you've had a great weekend thus far. Today, we are going to be talking about extremism. I've mentioned this concept at various times in the past, but I've yet to really define it and hone in on it. So that's what we're going to be doing today on this particular episode. There are many examples of extremism in our world. We can talk about political extremism. At this point, I think we're all familiar with Kyle Rittenhouse, a teenager who was arrested for, but later acquitted of, first-degree intentional homicide during a protest in Kenosha, Wisconsin, that was centered on the police shooting of Jacob Blake. Two Kenosha area residents, one 26 years old and another who was 36, were killed. A third person was injured but survived. Rittenhouse was seen walking the streets of Kenosha with an AR-15 assault-style rifle that was apparently purchased with coronavirus stimulus money. Marquise Love, a 26-year-old, was sentenced to 20 months in prison for violently assaulting Adam Hayner during one of the many nights of protest in Portland. Hayner was left with broken ribs, bruising, and potential long-term vision damage. If you watched the video, he easily could have been killed. Adam was attempting to help a transgender woman who had been beaten and robbed by an angry mob that night. The violent protesters dragged him out of a car and beat him senselessly in the middle of the street. We can also talk about religious extremism. Westboro Baptist Church is a great example of this. They have a long history of hatred. They're seen at rallies and protests with flags reading, quote, "Thank God for 9/11, end quote, and quote, "God hates fags," end quote. ISIS is another example of religious extremism. There are videos displaying the implied beheading of Egyptian and Syrian Christians on beaches. We can also discuss ideological extremism, which intersects with political and religious extremism. How about militant veganism, for example? There have been reports of farmers in the UK, Australia, France, and Spain receiving death threats and being physically assaulted by vegan activists. Here's a personal account of Alison Waugh, a trainee farmer in the UK, dated in 2018 from the BBC. She says, quote, "I find it degrading. I find it insulting, and frankly, I find it barbaric that somebody would accuse the people that make a living off of working the land of mistreating their livestock. When you're being called murderers and rapists, that is overstepping the mark. You do get death threats, which is quite ironic from people wanting peace around the world, but then they tell you, quote, I hope you and your family die in a hole for what you do," end quote. The KKK is another example of ideological extremism. The American white supremacist terrorist hate group has a vast history of violence against Black Americans, Jews, immigrants, members of the LGBTQ community, and Roman Catholics. There are different types or categories of extremism. And there are different grades or degrees of extremism along a spectrum. We need to remember that humans are complex. We don't all fit into perfect boxes. I said last week that I'm personally intolerant of extremism. And that is true to a certain extent. But couldn't many people rightly or fairly designate me as a kind of extremist? The concept of extremism and the designation of extremism is certainly subjective and relative to the subjective interpreter. For example, someone who is a far-right extremist might view a moderate Democrat as a radical, while someone like me, someone who is more politically moderate, often feels caught between extremes on both sides. But I might actually classify myself as an extremist, a particular kind of extremist, under a particular category. This begs the question, is all extremism bad? Can we distinguish between good and bad radicalism? What am I? And where do I fall? These are the tough questions that we're going to be tackling on this episode. To begin, let's evaluate different forms of extremism. I'm going to narrow our discussion down to three major categories of extremism or radicalism: political extremism, religious extremism, and ideological extremism. Political extremism is characterized by radical immanence. Preeminent allegiance is given to political ideology. Political extremism is marred by intense tribalism, bias, prejudice, favor for a particular demographic. You see an us versus them, or an us against the world mentality. It often breeds hatred, villainization, demonization, and dehumanization of others. You find radical intolerance of difference and disagreement, and an exaggerated and sensationalized perspective. This is usually combined with force and coercion. It seeks to gain and exert power at any cost. War, revolution, assassination, insurrection. Participants are willing to physically harm and kill for the cause. Political extremism involves a utilitarian or consequentialist ethic, where the end always justifies the means. It's marked by a lack of grace and love and gratitude and joy. Now, there are exceptions that we could talk about. The more drastic the political situation is, the more justifiable political extremism is. One could say that political extremism is relative to the political situation. Let me give an example. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a devout Christian and staunch pacifist living in Nazi Germany, decided for radical political action, involving himself in an assassination plot against Hitler on the basis of the drastic and extreme political situation that he found himself in. The problem today is that we too often mischaracterize our current political situations as drastic or extreme. This stems from a general lack of perspective on both a global and historical level. Religious extremism is very similar to political extremism. Religious extremism is characterized by radical transcendence. Preeminent allegiance is given to religious tradition. It is marred by intense tribalism, bias, prejudice, favor for a particular demographic. Again, you find an us versus them and us against the world mentality. It breeds hatred, villainization, demonization, and dehumanization of others. You see a radical intolerance of difference and disagreement, and an exaggerated and sensationalized perspective. This is usually combined with force and coercion. Religious extremism seeks to gain and exert power at any cost. War, revolution, assassination, insurrection. Participants are willing to physically harm and kill for the cause. It involves a utilitarian and consequentialist ethic. Again, where the end always justifies the means. And just like with political extremism, it is marked by a lack of grace, love, gratitude, and joy. There are some possible exceptions that we could discuss here as well, but overall, in this context, I'm much less inclined to do so. Ideological extremism crosses over with and overlaps into the previous two categories. It shares a lot of the same characteristics, tendencies, and attitudes. I'm going to focus on the nature of the thinking and communication in this particular context. Ideological extremism is marred by poor and radical thinking. So you have polarizing, either-or, black-and-white reasoning, where you have a lack of nuance, a lack of respect for the complexity of truth, simplistic, lazy, and childish reasoning. You also have dogmatic and overly objective thinking. Thinking that's inflexible, close-minded, unopen, and intolerant. There's often inconsistencies, contradiction, and hypocrisy here as well. Illogical thinking and a lack of respect or even blatant defiance of coherence. You find misclassifications and misappropriations. So you see uncritical and uncharitable thinking. This is often mixed with an unnecessarily narrow perspective, which we could call myopic thinking. You see hasty, impulsive, and deeply emotional reasoning that's unwise, that's unthoughtful, and uses a lack of discretion. And you have deeply biased and prejudiced reasoning. Reasoning that's selective, that's fixed, that's predisposed, and that is unbalanced. Ideological extremism is also marred by poor and radical communication, both in terms of what is communicated and how it is communicated. So you have sharp, insulting, ridiculing, mean-spirited, highly sarcastic, militant, and hateful speech. But you also have loud, highly emotional, angry, abrasive, heavy-handed, forceful, and coercive speech. As far as examples go, some within the anti-vaxxer camp may display these attitudes, or some within the cancel culture camp might demonstrate these tendencies. Before I bring this podcast to a close, I would say that we all have our moments. It's probably true that there is some extremism in all of us. It really comes down to whether some of these attitudes and tendencies are consistent and constant, or simply occasional and irregular in our lives and personal histories. But I want to conclude with the concept of Christian extremism, a category that both Dietrich Bonhoeffer and I would fall under. Now, it's important to note that I'm not talking about fake Christianity here, but real Christianity. Lord knows our country is full of nominal Christians. Christians in name only. In Christian extremism, we find a dialectic, a fusion between immanence and transcendence. Preeminent allegiance is given to Christ. Christian extremism is marked by anti-tribalism. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither male nor female, neither slave nor free. It is defined by unconditional love, neighbor love, and even enemy love. This love is global and universal. It involves altruism and self-giving and self-sacrifice. There is an expectation of difference and a contentment with difference. Here you find a realist and balanced view of the world and human experience, nature and grace, flesh and spirit. Christian extremism is not forceful or coercive, but it values personal freedom and personal choice. It is not characterized by power and control, but is marked by humility and service. It is centered on a character or virtue ethic. It values sound thinking, thinking that is just and fair, reasoning that's concerned about what is true, thinking that is balanced, wise, and understanding. Christian extremism values sound communication, considerate, peaceable, careful, and even gentle communication. It is full of grace, love, gratitude, and joy. And it's defined by pacifism and even martyrdom, if necessary. There have been many examples of this peculiar form of extremism in human history. Franz Jagerstatter, born in Austria in 1907, was an Austrian farmer with a quiet but intense Christian conviction. During the Nazi occupation of Austria, he declared his refusal to fight for the German army. And he refused to pledge any kind of allegiance to Hitler. Because of this, he was held in custody, transferred to Berlin to await trial, and condemned to death for sedition. Of course, Jesus of Nazareth himself was a radical, a true radical, a good radical. One who exemplified all of the characteristics that I just presented. If you've seen the film Silence by Martin Scorsese, a movie about 17th century missionaries ministering in an anti-Christian Japan, you were confronted with many radical Christians, both of Portuguese and Japanese ethnicity. And then you have someone like me, someone who's just trying to be and become like Christ. A radical Christian. Now, you might have listened to my presentation of Christian extremism and thought to yourself, that doesn't really sound like extremism to me. But it is. It's just an extremism of a radically different nature. This is seen in its emphasis on pacifism and martyrdom. If push came to shove, I would die for my Christ, and I would consider it an honor. See, political and religious extremists would kill for their beliefs. whereas Christian extremists would die for their beliefs. This is a radicalism of a wholly different nature. All of us are going to die one day. Our finitude is one of those things that hold all of us in common. What is it to me whether I die of heart failure or whether I die for what I believe? Honestly, I think I might rather die for my convictions than simply die of natural causes. For the former gives meaning to death, while the latter simply displays the futility and evil in it. This episode, and all episodes of Thinker Sensitive, are available at thinkersensitive.com, iTunes, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content and wish to donate to help us grow our online community of thinkers, please visit thinkersensitive.com.